A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Terry. Look, the Utah Jazz, they just need to have their Ralphie moment. And what that is, let me explain it to everyone listening in Radio
Land. Who is Ralphie?
Just listen to my story. Don't interrupt me. All right? Here is Ralph. It's the character. It's the main character in the movie from A Christmas Story.
Right.
And he's bullied by Scott Farkas, or we should say LeBron James or whomever.
Yeah.
And he's had it. He's just finally, he's fed up with just being intimidated, can't go to school, he can't be a child. So he just loses it on Scott Farkas.
Yeah, yeah.
And loses it like saying words that haven't been spoken from a human voice.
Right,
ever.
And he also beat him up pretty badly.
He pummels him, and he never has to deal with the bully again. So the Utah Jazz need their Ralphie moment. They got to stand up to the bully, and just, I'm so sick and tired of hearing this stuff that the Jazz get no respect. And they got to go out, and it's us against the world, the second half of the season, and win the NBA freaking championship.
If you took the over for how many times Scott Farkas was going to be brought up on the show tonight, you're the big winner.
Scott Farkas.
Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he, of course, covers the Utah Jazz for KSLSports.com. Best in the market, Ben Anderson joining us on the program. Two stories up of interest for people to read, Ben, that you've written up. One, the NBA has admitted to 6 missed calls late in that Jazz loss to the 76ers. Also, more recently, of course, Mitchell and Gobert being picked last in that All-Star draft.
Last.
We listened to the Hardy Har Har as those guys laughed it off like, oh, no big deal. We just didn't play with Utah when we were growing up. Do you buy any of this, or was this a little slight at the Utah Jazz?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I'm sure Utah does get overlooked in general, but they know who the best team in the NBA is. LeBron knows which team just, you know, beat them by 25 points on the road on national television, kind of embarrassed him a couple of weeks ago. And the Jazz keep getting attention that maybe some of these older stars, some of these bigger stars aren't really loving right now. So I don't think it was totally innocuous the way they wanted to play it off.
Oh, I agree. There's no question that the Utah Jazz, this is like a gamesmanship thing. It's like, okay, you guys think you're all right. All right, we're gonna bump you down a few notches here. We're going to pick you last just because we have to pick you. Like, if we had our choice, we wouldn't even pick you. I 100% agree that this is a big-time slight by these guys. That being said, okay, Ben, are they right? I mean, are the Jazz overrated? How good are the Jazz?
Well, let's first put it in the perspective of the All-Star game and how these guys fit in the All-Star game and whether they're not traditional All-Stars, the types of players you'd like to have. You know, Donovan's not quite as big as some of the other guards. Even though he's a highlight reel dunker, maybe he doesn't fit the All-Star mold as much as some players. And we know even though Rudy Gobert was spectacular last year, he doesn't really fit the mold either as kind of a more traditional center. So in a sense, it makes sense why they weren't picked as All-Stars, and I honestly think that's fine, and I think that plays into the selections as well. Now, how good are the Jazz as far as the rest of the season goes? I think they're still very good. I still think they have the best odds to finish with the best record in the NBA. I think you looked at they've got one of the easiest schedules remaining. I think you've really put a huge chip on their shoulder now with both tonight and what happened last night against the Philadelphia 76ers. I think they're going to get the benefit of the doubt from officials from now on, because Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell are going to be donating between $30,000 and $100,000 in the next couple of days to NBA charities. They're going to get their money's worth. So I still think the Jazz are one of the best teams in the NBA. I think they've proven they can beat everyone in the NBA. We'll have to see what they do against the Nets in the next few weeks here after the season comes back. But the Jazz are for real, despite the fact that they went into the All-Star break losing 3 out of 4.
How is this like compared a game like last night where we're watching it, and as people who follow this team here in the market, and, you know, we're obviously pulling for the Jazz to do well, it's easy for us to find bad calls. My question is, in the NBA finding missed calls, they do that for every game, right? They find places where these refs can get better, and they point out places where they got it wrong. Is this abnormally high for having this many mistakes that late in the game?
Yeah, to have 6 in the last 4 minutes is crazy. That's the last 2 minutes of overtime, the last 2 minutes of regulation. That's a huge number, because they do this for every game that's within 5 in the last 2 minutes of the game. So they'll go and say, hey, this is a close game. Calls have a chance to impact what happens. Generally, when you see it, it is like a travel, like you had from Bojan Bogdanovic, where he was out, you know, 40 feet from the hoop and was double-teamed and kind of shifted his pivot foot around to end up passing the ball to Donovan Mitchell in the backcourt. Like, generally, there's little things like that. To miss what resulted in 4, 5, I'm counting in my head, 6 free throws, because 2 should have gone to Joel Embiid.
Right.
2 should have gone to Donovan Mitchell. Because of the travel that was not called on Tobias Harris, you ended up with a technical foul on Donovan Mitchell and 2 more free throws for Joel Embiid. So that's 7 total free throws that they blew and messed up in a game that I know it ended up as an 8-point game, but, you know, went to overtime. I mean, you think any 1 point would have changed the outcome of that game, and they missed 7 free throw opportunities in 4 minutes. That's an enormous swing. Yeah. Even if it balanced out who it wronged, that's a ton of mistakes to make in a game that you know, is not overwhelmingly important, but it's the 2 best teams in their conferences.
What are the repercussions for officials? You know, it's like players, you know, you don't do the job and you're out of a job, but these officials, you know, are there any repercussions? Do these guys lose their job? They get put on probation if they're consistently calling bad calls or missing calls?
Well, they do grade these referees, and those referees end up getting the bigger games, and then they end up getting the playoff games, and obviously the more you work, the more money you get, and you get more money in those games, I believe. So it is recognition. It's, you know, whether you get brought back in additional seasons. You have to make sure your grade stays high and you continue to perform well, and there are benefits that come with that, and there are penalties if you don't, and usually it does come in the you know, position of getting to work more in the postseason, where half the crew goes home because half the teams aren't playing.
Listen to how petty we sound. Just listen to how petty we sound. Well, how can we punish these guys?
It's not
please,
so much punishing.
Scott wants to sleep well tonight and know that those calls were all missed. And I just don't want to hang any. I don't want to hang, you know, any importance on just the missed calls and things like that. I when I read your tweet about how Mike Conley, you know, really has had a couple of really good looks to be able to win games as a member of the Jazz, a couple of big ones, and that one was, what, 11 feet away, a teardrop shot for him that normally goes in and it rims out. And but what really do you see going in now that we're into the All-Star break? What are has the Jazz been exposed, and what needs to get better before they fire back up on March 12th?
I don't think necessarily the Jazz have been exposed. I think teams are taking them more seriously and giving their all every night, and the Jazz need to figure out how they want to adjust to that. Do you want to play like it's the Super Bowl every single night you step out on the floor for the next 37 games in the second half of the season, so by the time you get to the end of the year and you get to the playoffs, you're super playoff battle tested, but you're also beaten and battered because you've played everybody every single game? Do you want to be more selective in when you play Donovan Mitchell and whether you play Rudy Gobert and just say, hey, there's a good chance we think we can get a top 2 or 3 seed. There's going to be fans back in the arena by the time the playoffs come around. I'm guessing that's not a guarantee. You know, and do you feel like, hey, it would be better to be healthy in that situation? What do you feel like you have to have most going into the final or going into the playoffs for the Jazz? And I think those are the types of questions they need to discover. That doesn't mean they've been found out or exposed, but there's some question marks left.
2 great stories you can read right now from Ben Anderson at KSLSports.com about the slight of Mitchell and Gobert being picked last in the All-Star draft tonight. Also, those missed calls against Philadelphia last night. Ben, thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on the program. Go to KSLSports.com. Take our KSL Unrivaled Undefeated poll as well. Has to do with the Jazz at the All-Star break. And would you go back to the stadium once things are opened up? Or is it too early for you to show up to a stadium? Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.